Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to today's podcast episode of Let's Talk Cloud Networking. Again, unscripted with your hosts as usual, myself, John Gonzalez, and Newman Mustafa. As usual, we've invited an expert, a cloud architect, to join us to candidly share the knowledge, the customer learning, and the experience during their cloud journey, but also to give our audience a sense of how customers are thinking and approaching what we would call the most fundamental but critical cloud networking and security constructs. So today we're really pleased to be joined by one of our customers, Atta Mir of Takeda Pharmaceuticals. Atta is a global cloud network architect lead over there, but also an influential thought leader in public cloud space. Hi Atta, welcome to our podcast. Please take a few minutes to introduce yourself. Tell us a little about your background and your cloud journey and your role within Takeda.
Thank you, John and Naman, for inviting me for this. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. My name is Atta Mir, and as John said, I'm global network lead for Takeda Pharmaceuticals. I am working with Takeda and Shire. Previously, Takeda was Shire, now Takeda acquired Shire. So I'm working with Takeda from last 3.5 years. Before that, I was working as a consultant, and I take care of all the network architecture and network security, like firewalls and that kind of stuff in Takeda, all the architectures in APAC, America, and EMEA at the same time. And I have teams sitting all over the world. And
That's great. Thank you for that.
Welcome to the show, Atta.
thank you, Roman.
So, I think you probably would be on my side that you actually like tea better than coffee.
Absolutely. I love tea and all kind of teas.
That's great.
I got to say, I don't get this all kind of teas. You know, I'm just used to English breakfast tea. then I've heard of chai tea and this flavored tea and all of that sort of stuff. I'm not getting it myself.
Similar, like you can think of like in a coffee, you have hazelnut touch, then you have French vanilla and all that. And then if you go and drink coffee in Europe, Europe has totally different coffee, which we normally call latte here. They call it coffee. So tea is similar, like with the region, with different spices and different leaves, it changes its flavor.
Absolutely. I know a lot. I know it's becoming very, very fashionable to drink these different flavored teas. You know,
right?
That's cool. Atta, maybe we can start by, because I think one of the things about this podcast is we also want to touch a little bit about the personal cloud journey, because a lot of people they are still stuck with on-prem world, and they just did not get an opportunity to pick up cloud or be part of cloud projects. So maybe something about yourself, how did you started working on cloud projects? Obviously, you may have an on-prem background as well. Right. And not everybody has seen or experienced this. And so from your personal cloud journey, how did you get into the cloud projects, and in general from a Takeda perspective, right? So when did they decide to move to the cloud, and CSP they picked in terms of the cloud journey, and how things have evolved both at personal level as well as at Takeda level?
Sure. So, with me is like, I'm with networking field from last 22 years, since 1998. I'm with the network, with Cisco networks and all that kind of different environments we have. So Like how I started my cloud journey, it is kind of like a few years back, roughly I believe in 2014 timeframe was a time when initially I started getting involved with cloud projects as consultant with other teams or with other you can say organizations, or I started designing or working in it. The main factor for the cloud for me, which came up, was that since AWS developed really a great cloud services, there was always a challenge for a different level with different companies that they wanted to expand themselves, or they are looking for some quick analysis or quick some kind of VMs or that kind of scenarios. And AWS brought that technology is so handy and you can say very very easy for the consumer to adopt. So back in 2014, I started doing with the direct connects and that kind of scenarios, like where I was used to do created the VPN like IPsec tunnels back to on premises, and that was where I started learning or start knowing about AWS cloud and all that. And then later I ended up kind of like developing multi-cloud infrastructures, like Boston University. I did their whole infrastructure with all three major cloud providers, and then connectivity between them, or at the same time, like connectivity before the TGWs. Currently, I would say AWS is pretty making everyday life easier and easier. I remember back in this, we were used to create that VPC peering, and then we came up with the transit VPCs, and then with the Cisco CSRs and all that, like creating some kind of BGP so we can have dynamic routing and all that kind of stuff. So that was my like one after another, like, okay, like as consultant, we have to do some Cisco CSRs and create all those BGP connectivity to on-prem. That's where I start getting involved in AWS and in GCP or Azure and those kind of scenarios. With Takeda, I will say Takeda is pharmaceutical, and with any pharmaceuticals, they always have R&D departments. And for R&D department and those guys, they're always looking for some additional compute storage and that kind of stuff. And whenever they're looking for compute storage, it's not like 24/7 they need that computer storage. They will be looking for when they are doing some analysis or when they are doing that kind of stuff, or at the same time, like that is the time maybe for a week or 10 days, they will be doing a very high analysis and they need high powers compute. That is where AWS or cloud computing play a major role for us. Like, okay, during that time, expand it to your max. And then once that time is over, reduce it to a minimum level. And at the same time, we have a lot of analysis data, which we have to store. And AWS or other cloud providers, they also provide you similar like S3 or Glacier and those kind of facilities where you can keep the data and be very free. Like, we still have really big storages, a lot of petabytes of data and that kind of things. We are maintaining them. So these are the few attractions which AWS or other cloud service providers, they brought us. Like, okay, here's the stuff. You guys can have it when you need it. So that's where Care Army came in.
That's interesting. So the original sort of use case for your R&D, I need the elasticity, I need a sort of pay-as-you-go type model, switch it on, switch it off after a few days, few hours, whatever the case may be. I want lots of storage when I need it. I want lots of compute power when I need it. But moving forward from then, is that strategy still the same, or has the business goals and business drivers changed, and have you changed in cloud for some other benefits?
So that was where you can say cloud got introduced into Takeda, or into Takeda Pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. But later, when we start looking at different advantages of AWS or different advantages of cloud, that we can utilize it for a number of other features. Like we can, especially I will say that when we introduced Aviatrix, the main thing, as I remember in my previous career or all that, that doing a BGP routing with the Cisco CSR, the creating transit VPCs and that kind of stuff. When we looked into the Aviatrix, it made the life way easier. I will say it took a lot of load and automation for us, that we were in the position like, okay, this is something which we were looking at. And with the introduction of FireNet and with the firewalls and all that, we can build the similar thing what we have in on-prem and what we were proud of, like having a secured environment. We can build a secured environment with the Aviatrix FireNets and keep the redundancy and availability at the same time. So after getting involved in all those, building all that with the file installation of FireNet and Palo Alto's in our cloud environment, we are moving up just using a storage or R&D. Now we are moving to the next level where we are bringing a lot other services like our normal applications, all that kind of stuff is moving into the cloud, and our cloud is growing every day. And you might hear about that, the power of three or all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. with Takeda, that Takeda and Amazon, and they're hand to hand to move, as I said, petabytes of data. And I cannot disclose how many number of the VMs we are moving, but you can say it's not in like four or maybe around five figures or that kind of number of VMs or virtual machines and applications which are moving to cloud, just based on what cloud is providing us today with especially I will say with the Aviatrix, with the manageability which we got, or manageability enhancement. Like previously, I know the pain of configuring those transit VPC peering, or configuring those BGP routing and transit gateway and doing all that kind of stuff. The scenario which we built, it's way more manageable with our service desk, that we are expanding it to the next level.
So Atta, I think you said something about power of three. I think when you said power of three, you probably meant Takeda and AWS and Accenture. I think that's where I heard some of the YouTube videos where I think you have a presentation with AWS. And I think we like to think that it should be like power of four, where you add Aviatrix to it, because of the way how we have simplified things for you, and a lot of sort of make it easier for you to get the business agility that you're looking for. Now, one of the things that also is very appealing and actually resonates very well when you talked about your personal journey, right? You mentioned that you started working with your networking, connecting your hybrid world or data centers back to the AWS cloud environment. And I think this is what we see normally with cloud maturity models as well, that the first step for any enterprise is to actually do migrate workloads, right? Or to get into the cloud and connect back to the on-prem world, because that's where you have still have some applications and services running. So that's the first step where, you know, how can you make that applications move into the cloud and you do your lift and shift or refactoring, but at the same time connect it back to the on-prem using DX or some site to cloud connectivities. And start to operationalize this, make it simple for all your operational staff. And then you sort of look into, okay, now how do I make it better? And then you look at, initially people start to look at this NV approach where you start third-party, say CSR type solutions. And then you say, hey, this is way too complicated and it's not built for the cloud. And then eventually you come up with a 3.0 model where it's multiple clouds and you have a unified architecture. You have things like Aviatrix that helping you solve that problem. So it's very very much aligned to how we see enterprises' cloud maturity model is evolving. And I think now with new customers who are moving to the cloud, right, they have the benefit of actually learning from customers like Takeda and people like you, because then they can see, okay, what is the optimal model that looks like today, that actually works today, and then you can follow that cloud 3.0 and upward approach. So that's a great piece of advice that you shared with us in general.
But actually, just for my clarification, where do you think Takeda would be now without Aviatrix? Where would they be in their cloud journey, do you think? And any chance of, you know, a flavor of the challenges or difficulties you think they would still be having?
Right. I will say it will be a lot way more challenging what it is right now. I will say before using the putting the Aviatrix in or the merging Aviatrix into our environment, it was like we were running a lot of Terraforms, we were running all kind of scripting and stuff like that. Like there were thousands of scripts, but those mm-hmm. scripts or those Terraform scripts are all these different kind of for VPC pairing, there's a process this is the way you will be doing VPC pair. This is the way you will have to do the TGW pairing. And still mm-hmm. there was possibility of human errors. And then not only that, after that, routing that all the traffic back to firewalls and taking them there. Like those are all kind of different small Terraform scripts and some manual processes and those kind of things we had written down as a runbook kind of playbook kind of scenario we had. But now we are in the scenario where we are we don't have to maintain those things. Like it's kind of mm-hmm. Off the shelf, industry standards are getting developed, and Aviatrix is filling up the gap, which currently AWS did a lot of work with bringing all those facility and bringing that platform in, but Aviatrix made it way simpler. You can say if you want to do all these VPC pairing and all these different stuff which Aviatrix is doing with their load balancers and with the Aviatrix gateway, if you want to get that done without Aviatrix, you might be needing a lot of engineers and a lot of their time and effort to maintain them, and not only maintain them. Then after that, if you're handing over to operations, it will be you will be making a very complex processes that those operations get through and don't break your VPC pairing and those kind of stuff. Right. So I will say, I remember when I looked at Aviatrix, I was like, it's kind of a no-brainer. We are doing all these different stuff. Few of them we evaluated, we have these scripts written or we have these processes written, which are get it automated in Aviatrix, and now it will be their responsibility to maintain them. And not only that, we found a lot of quality work with all these, especially with the Aviatrix gateway, the way you guys are doing the load balancing, or especially with the FireNets kind of scenario, where all the traffic is getting load balanced and those kind of things are there. Those were the things which we were trying to develop, and we were thinking that we will be spending a lot more human effort there. We got it off the shelf kind of scenario.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, Tom, one thing I also was curious to find out that you guys started with working with AWS, and maybe AWS looks like as your primary cloud, which probably you're using it for IaaS type of scenarios to do elasticity and on-demand provisioning and projects that you want to run in a more optimal way. Are you also seeing the need for leveraging services that are offered by other clouds like GCP or Azure? May not be as dominant as AWS, but what we are seeing in the industry is people are sort of looking to build architectures that are able to extend them and consume services, whichever works best for the business. So how has that evolved over time with Takeda?
So, Noman, I will say currently with the current scenario, we are focused on AWS and we are running a very, very big project to move to AWS kind of scenario.
Yep.
And that is what Power of Three and all that kind of slogans are going on. if I say with my previous experience from as consulting for other companies, and if I talk about that, again, I'm seeing that we will be expanding to other clouds pretty soon, especially to Azure, and in some cases the GCP will be the Google will be another one which we are looking at, or even Oracle is also one of our main database provider is there. So these three or four clouds are soon they will come, but right now the focus is only on AWS. And again, the way again it will be coming on Aviatrix, that the connectivity and that kind of stuff. I remember back in days, I did the similar thing with Cisco CSRs, and I spent days and night to develop that.
No, I think that's the beauty of the solution, right? Is because at the end of the day, it's the business that decides what to access and which CSP to manage, and everybody has their primary CSPs that they would like to work with, and there are a lot of things that decides that relationships and the ability to support and all of that matters, and then obviously the knowledge of your staff matters a lot as well. But right. If you have the right architecture, if you have the right platform, as you said, right, then everything becomes easy, right? So if you want to extend, if you want to have that consistent, repeatable architecture where your operations team feels comfortable managing it and they have the right visibility into what's happening in the network, it just makes life easier. And that the work that you did early on, right, it basically, you see the value of it multifold as you expand your deployments and start to get more business value out of the cloud investment.
And as we say, if you don't start with the right foundation, in this case, the right network and architectural approach, et cetera, anything you build on top is not going to, it's not going to look perfect. It's going to be, potentially plagued with problems. And at some point you're going to want to retrofit. Then you're going to, add risks and costs, unnecessarily. So, we say start off with the right foundational approach, start off with the right network repeatables, rinse and repeat architecture, then stay in one cloud for as long as you want. But when you're ready to move to another cloud, it's just like an elastic infrastructure then.
Yeah, absolutely. Like all these cloud providers, they are providing you specialized services. Like you can, if I say the, let's take the obvious example of Oracle Cloud. Like, yes, you can have the Oracle or you can have the database cloud inside AWS. But if you are looking for specific customization of Oracle, then you will be needing that. So similar is with Google and Azure, that they have few services which are native to those clouds. And for optimal, you have to connect to those clouds.
Yeah. So that's great. That's great. So one additional thing that I wanted to find out from you, right, is, one of the key things that that you people sometimes overlook is the operational readiness of the staff that's going to manage the network once things gets implemented, because there are obviously things you can hire smart people and they can do their magic in terms of doing DIY and do native scripting and cloud formation and all that. But then when it comes to managing this and operationalize this in day two, it becomes a big mess. And when you scale, especially the environment, things just start to become exponentially complicated. Right. So in terms of your approach, how have you or Takeda has taken in terms of skilling up your staff? Did you have to hire more people who were cloud ready? Did you enable your own teams? And obviously, Takeda is already also benefiting from our ACE certified trainings, which is basically is a fast track for network engineers and security engineers to ramp up in cloud native constructs and in general, how to operationalize this. But in general, how have you seen or how have you taken the approach and see it work for Takeda as well?
So, Nawan, basically, we are taking all three approaches. Like, we do hire a few new staff or a few staff at the same time, with the concept of DevOps and all that kind of scenarios to build. Especially our project is the project which is going on. We do hire new staff at the DevOps. At the same time, we also executed training for our own staff, because what I believe with a new staff, or you can bring the new technology in your company, but the corporate knowledge, or the tribal knowledge, or you can say the history of all the applications, that you will only get with your mm-hmm. existing staff, and you have to get them trained and bring them to the next level. At the same time, you know that the way today most of our enterprises are work, they always have their service desk or MSP sourced out. So with MSP sourced out, we did get some MSP involved in those in our operations, but for MSPs or also for our staff, we ask them for two basic certifications, or especially I will say the network team the MSP, I asked them for two basic certifications. One was the ACE certification, and second was the AWS practitioner. Like, if they want to join at any level, like even as a learner or just to listener, mm-hmm. they should have AWS practitioner and ACE training, because ACE is the one which gives you comparison between all three technology, all four cloud providers. And it gives you the knowledge which normally AWS practitioner does not provide you. Like, it's kind of more, like you can say, on looking at the, like, okay, what are the weak points of AWS, or where we need to pay more attention, which AWS practitioner on those ones will be giving you limited knowledge about those areas, like our gray areas, which AWS won't highlight, ACE definitely highlight those areas.
Right. And that's the ACE associate self-paced, I think you're referring to. Yeah, because the ACE Pro is much more in depth, so, 3 days,
So for entry level, it is like, okay, they have to get the ACE associate and the AWS practitioner. Mm-hmm. After that, in 6 months or 1 year, they can come to the next level, like, okay, I'll go for AWS associate and Aviatrix professional level kind of trainings, or try to get those ones.
Yeah.
So in a way, you have basically made it part of the sort of a academic curriculum for your employees, right? To learn cloud and pick up cloud, because they feel more relevant helping out with the new projects that are coming in. And so that's something great approach. And a lot of our other customers, big customers, are actually doing that, because if you look around, right, there's not a single course, right, that can meet this need. I mean, if you go to AWS, they may have a networking course, but it only teaches about AWS, right? And even then, their focus probably would be more around services and compute, and Azure is the same way, GCP, Oracle, right? So their emphasis and their DNA is not networking security, right? So some do a better job than others, but at the end of the day, what customers and enterprises, architects are looking for is, give me a architecture, give me a knowledge on how different constructs work together, so that I can help my company build this architecture and design in a consistent manner, with the ability to operationalize, support, visualize, and then scale, right? So that's, I think, is, what you are saying is exactly what other people are also doing now, which is all great to see.
And imagine if you had to go and sit training from AWS, then GCP, then Azure, and all the others, you'd soon be suffering from training fatigue.
I mean, you can convince people to do it, maybe two.
Exactly.
You'll be lucky that you find someone who can at least learn two. Now, forget about three and four. It's just not possible, right? And especially if you have people who are coming from spending their time 15 to 20 years in learning on-prem world. They, from their perspective, until 5 years ago, they have actually already achieved the ceiling, right? They say, okay, now it's time to cash in, and I'm just going to just enjoy what I've learned and cash in on my experience. But the world flipped into cloud, and now they are saying, hey, you need to again relearn. I mean, first of all, unlearn what I have learned over the years to an extent, but now relearn all of this, and there's no way you can convince anyone to be good in like four clouds or three clouds, even in two clouds.
Yeah. So, and one thing, Noman, I will say, like what I felt like with AWS or any of the Azure or Google training, they will tell you how their processes are, how good they are, and all that. What with the Viatrix, why I made that mandatory for my team, it was that by going to a Viatrix, they were able to identify like, okay, these are the gray areas of these cloud that why they have this environment, or like if someone asks you like, what is the difference between AWS or Azure or how the VNet is working and how the VPC is working, so they won't be, they can easily identify after the ACE training that, yeah, oh, this is the reason and this is the way the routing is happening, and all that kind of stuff is very easy, or they can clearly identify them. And that helps them during the operations. If that anything like that comes in, they can clearly or easily avoid that obstacle and make it through. So to me, the Aviatrix ACE associate training was, or I made mandatory with the sense of like, okay, yes, they know the process, how to build this thing. Now they need to know how to optimize it and how to avoid any obstacle or any kind of blockage if they get. So that's where like it was like these both was becomes a kind of a mandatory for my team.
That's fantastic. I think, look, we're kind of...
And one thing I want to add here, I'm not talking about my senior engineers. They are AWS professional and a Viatrix professional. Like this is like, if anyone wants to start learning, maybe my high school son, I will ask him to go for AWS practitioner and at the same time, a Viatrix ACE training, associate training. So he knows what AWS, Azure and Google Cloud or Oracle Cloud is. So he can talk about them. So whatever he will be learning, he knows like what the market is. So right. That is kind of like, okay, if you want to start learning, get for these three. And after that, you will come to know like, okay, how you want to grow in the cloud industry.
Yeah. And this is not just about, as you said, right? It's not just about, you know, like getting Aviatrix and deploying it. It's more also about learning cloud networking security. Just like people used to do Cisco courses to learn networking security. And, you know, in 1990s, right, to see, okay, how do I learn the OSI reference layer and all these routing and switching and VLANs. And this is exactly the way people are leveraging ACE now. They want to learn how the cloud networking security native constructs works, how they differentiate, and what is the best possible architecture, which is the MCNA, to deploy for your enterprises. So you are absolutely correct.
Right.
I just wondered, from the old traditional networking, you know, people go and sit their CCNA, CCNP, CCIE, all of those sort of CC courses at Cisco. I wonder if they've seen a drop in the number of, you know, attendees for that, because that sort of traditional networking is starting to be old school now, and, you know, young folks coming out of college, etc.
Yeah, I was talking to actually some of the people who have started the career in like 20. After like 2000, right? So they are like millennials or after that. I mean, they don't even know what the Cisco routers are. They actually have built all of their carriers in cloud, right? So they started with AWS, they started with Azure. They don't even know what the hell is this MPLS and SD-WAN and, you know, all these VLANs and spanning tree and all these different things. They have no clue. They've started learning actually from AWS, and that's what they know. And so you'll start to see that.
And this, obviously, with the industry, there's like after 2 or 3 years, the whole industry is completely flipping. I remember the time I started Cisco. At that time, we were used to talk about frame relay and X25. Now, if I tell someone X25, he will start looking at Xbox or something.
Like, oh, good, frame relay, good.
I remember Katos at a...
Yeah, like it was tough for us to build the, like how to run X25, checking its connections and all that. Like after every what I feel like 3 or maximum you can say 5 years, like you will be seeing like the whole environment for is changed. Now everyone is going in a different direction, and I'm fully agree with Noman. Like today in today's world, those traditional environments, yes, they are today. It's similar like in few banks still they are using COBOL or IBM AIX machines, but the AIX mainframes. But the thing is, those are maybe 1% or something like that. Similar like that, the traditional network is reducing a lot. It will not be vanishing away, or it will not be completely gone. It will stay maybe 20 or 30% of the market. But most of the work is shifted towards the cloud operating.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess for as long as customers keep renewing the end of life hardware, etc., they're just going to keep the traditional vendors in business. The minute they stop renewing that sort of legacy hardware and move to the cloud, then that's when you start seeing the dying off, you know, gradually of that traditional networking.
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Atta, any sort of key takeaways, any advice for other customers and our audience, anything that you think that would spark their interest, anything they should do, don't do, you know, during their cloud journey that you could offer?
For customers, I will say that cloud is really a nice technology right now, but you should be adopting with the methodology like where the cloud is right for you, because it's just like a kind of a, you can say a Ferrari or that one, that but by pushing the pedal it will speed up so fast. But if you push up at the wrong place, you might hit it really bad. So it's a consumption-based model. Think thoroughly, and when you are moving your application to cloud, your first question should be which cloud is right for you, and at the same time, what features you can migrate to that cloud that which is beneficial to your business. And for that one, when I say, if you're thinking of like which cloud is right for you, maybe at the same time, I would recommend you to do the AS associate training. And definitely after that, I can guarantee to you that you will be pretty much sure that which cloud provider will be beneficial for your application or for your business.
That's good advice. Do the ACE associate first before you make a final decision which cloud.
You're right.
That's great.
That's great. Thanks a lot, Atta. This is really, really good. And I really appreciate you taking some time out and joining this podcast to share your learning, personal as well as from a work perspective. I think it will be very, very helpful for our audience.
Yeah, great insight, Atta. You know, really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Noman. Thank you, John. For inviting me. It was a pleasure meeting you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Take care, guys.